Here's Bruce Williamson. Bruce is from Rail Future, which is an independent organisation, and they campaign for better rail services for passengers and freight. You're not going to worry about 3 minutes, are you, Bruce?
Well, I mean, I think I'm not going to worry about it, but it would be nice that, you know, as the rail system progresses, it gets faster and more efficient and more reliable. And obviously, you know, it's disappointing when things go wrong. But I mean, I think have I mentioned that word capacity before in the past?
You have.
Yeah. And you know, in increasing capacity, which is so essential for the railways, because we don't have enough capacity on the railways, as passengers will be only too aware with their overcrowded trains. But it's not just the capacity of the trains themselves; it's actually getting more trains onto the track. And when you start to do work, or more to the point, complete work, to get the capacity flowing, getting more trains going to more destinations, which is what's happening on Thames Link. Unfortunately, a few things, there will be more than a few teething problems, which it seems to have happened today.
But generally, Bruce, is the idea behind this the right one?
Oh, undoubtedly, yeah. You know, we need modernisation, we need capacity, we need more trains, we need to get more passengers in and out of London. And, you know, the updated timetable will do that overall. But, of course, it's such a complex beast. You know, it's like playing 3D chess doing railway scheduling. And particularly when you have big changes, that means you have to have big changes to the timetable to get everything to work together.
But Bruce, you mentioned capacity, increased capacity. Are we getting bigger trains? Are we getting more carriages? What is happening with that capacity? Because as you say, it's not about cramming more people into the same space.
No, certainly not. No, it is actually more trains. I think in some cases the trains are longer as well, and more routes as well, more route options. So yeah, the total number of if you like, seats moving across. Yeah, we're talking about Thames Link here mainly, but you know, across the railway generally has gone up and continues to go up, and you know, that undoubtedly is a good thing. But sadly, of course, you know, for every improvement, there'll be someone whose life is made slightly worse as well.
Well, let's find out if someone's life has been made slightly worse. Let me introduce you to a train user, a daily commuter Monday to Friday, and that is my partner, Sarah Khan.
I am, and I use the Oxford Parkway to Marylebone service every single day, and I'm very happy with my service, actually, apart from some of the trains don't have a little plug for me to plug my plug in to do my phone. But
21st century problems.
I know. What can I say? Bruce, you mentioned the word complex earlier. Mm. Now, have we got the most complex railway system in the world? Because we've got tracks that are owned by different companies compared to the people who run the trains. Wouldn't this particular industry be better served if it was more centralised?
Yes, I think there is a very strong case for integrating track and trains. And that is one of the downsides of privatisation, I think, that it caused that separation. The problem is, though, that for many, not all, but for many lines in the UK, they're served or used by more than one franchisee. So you can't just say, for instance, that is First Great Western's bit of track, let them run it, because you've got other rail franchisees using that same bit of track. So that's one of the problems. But, I mean, there certainly have been moves to do this. And I think the ill-fated East Coast franchise, I think the future way it will be run will be with possibly the track and trains being, you know, run by the same organisation, or at least closer integration between the two. And hopefully there might be some reliability benefits there.
Will that result in cheaper fares for customers if that happens?
I'd like to think so, but probably not. Oh. I mean, the fares are very much in the hands of government. And, you know, the fragmented nature of the railway that we have at the moment, you know, it isn't great for cost cutting, really. The advocates of privatisation would argue that, you know, the commercial sector is more efficient, therefore you have those efficiency savings. But you've got to weigh that up, and, you know, even if that's true, but you've got to weigh that up against the complexity of the system within which they're operating. And I think many, many years ago, our organisation, Rail Future, thought it would have been better if we'd privatised, you know, British Rail PLC as one whole.
As one thing. So makes such sense, my friend.
Integration.
Yes, you know, these idiots that sit there and think, you know, competition is great, either with utility companies or even television stations. All it leads to is more confusion, more cost, more complications.
More problems.
More problems that are very, very busy. Like, Bruce is absolutely spot on. A blind man on a galloping horse could see that if you just took British Rail and said, right, we'll privatise it as one, then problem solved. But I don't know. Bruce, thanks very much for your take on things.
Thanks,
really appreciate that. Bruce Williamson, Rail Future, which is an independent organisation campaigning for better rail services for passengers and freight. Get more freight on there as well.